to begin this evening, I would just like to welcome Father Dominic to our parish. We are very, very blessed to have Father Dominic. He is our... Father Dominic will be in residence with us here at St. Benedict's. And Father was ordained for our diocese in 2009. But before that, he served with a religious community as a missionary in Vietnam, his home country. And he spent a number of years working up in the remote mountain areas after the communists took over. They forbid priests from serving in that area. And so he wasn't ordained a priest yet, but he was the first one to go back into that area after 25 years of not having any priests or religious instruction. And he taught a number of people in catechists, and he has a lot of stories of hardship, of even being arrested and being persecuted for proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we are very, very blessed to have such a holy man and a missionary. He has a new mission to come here to the United States and to be with us and to work among our people and our parish here. And so I pray that you give him a very, as I know you will, a very warm and beautiful welcome here and to be with us for as long as the bishop permits him to be here in our parish. As you all know, my life pretty much revolves around sports, and everything I have is a sports analogy. But it kind of illustrates the point that I was thinking about today. Today we celebrate, obviously, Gaudete Sunday. As you can tell by my rose-colored vestments, not even going to get into the whole pink thing because I know I'm just not going to convince you. Most people cannot tell the difference between pink and rose, I know. Gaudete means rejoice, and we rejoice because it's the third Sunday of Advent, and we kind of take a peek forward to the joy that is awaiting for us. That moment of the where we get to behold the face of the Christ Child for the first time, and that there's the anticipation itself is something that brings us joy, and so I was trying to think of a time in my life when have I really experienced just pure and unadulterated joy, and it took me back to 1993, my senior year in high school, and just to kind of set this up a little bit, when I first started like getting interested in sports, you know, it was kind of around the time when. See, like I said, everything has a relationship to sports and Husker football. But, okay, it was the first one was the national championship game in 1983. And I was just kind of starting to kind of get it. I was kind of interested in it at that point, but not really. You know, I knew what was going on. And I just kind of figured that we played in the national championship game every year. And so it wasn't like a big deal for me. But then I started to realize, you know, that we didn't. And then we'd have, you know, we'd have these great seasons, and then for, I think it was 3 or 4 years in a row, Oklahoma would just come in and they would just rip my heart out. And it was terrible, you know, because I would even be, you know, I got so emotional, I'd get so upset, I'd be bawling, I'd be crying because they lost. And my sisters are like, "What's the matter with you? That's like the Huskers lost, what do you mean?" You know, it was terrible, it was traumatic. And then we'd go to the bowl game and we'd get shellacked by some, you know, some national championship contending team. But it was gut-wrenching. It was difficult, you know, because you get so emotionally invested in it and you get all wrapped up in it and you get so excited. And then just year after year after year, the same thing over and over again. So finally, I remember when Tommy Frazier came, and I don't know how I knew, but I just knew that there was something special about that kid. And I remember the very first, we actually were at the state fair, and we got to go to the first game of Husker football when Tommy Frazier got in. And we dubbed him, we called him Tommy Moses, because Tommy Moses was going to take us to the promised land. And we were just so excited, and he got in, we got to see him score his first touchdown. We're like, "Tommy Frazier, yeah, put Tommy in!" And And we're like, yeah, we saw him later that year. You know, he did end up starting. And then, you know, at his sophomore year, then we have that heartbreaking game against Florida State. And then it's like, oh, you know, or just gut wrenching and, you know, ripped my heart out again. You know, it was just like, anyway, I'm not going to go there. Anyway, bad memories. But then the whole season of the unfinished business, you know, you probably, those of you old enough to remember that. And it was just an amazing year. And then we get that game against Miami, Florida, and oh man, you know, I just wanted that one so bad. It was just like, you know, it was just like, and then the first part of the game, you know, it's not going well at all for the Huskers, and they're just like, oh, here we go again, you know, and just, you know, and then the second, you know, in the second half, I mean, Nebraska just starts to dominate. And I just remember that image of, you know, Warren Sapp, you know, as the Huskers are coming up, you know, kneeling on one knee, just sucking air, you know, you could just tell him, and he was just like, oh yeah, we're gonna get him. And then, you know, Corey Schlesinger from Duncan, Nebraska, by the way, which is only about 6 miles from my house, Corey Schlesinger runs into the end zone. And just, you know, it was me and Matt, Kevin, and I think Jason might have been there, and we're at my friend Matt's grandma Sheetal's house. You know, and as he rumbles into the end zone, and you know, and he rolls in, you know, they're just like pure, unadulterated joy. It's like we all jumped up. We're like, yeah, woo! You know, we're giving a high five and we're hugging each other, and it was so exciting, and we were just filled with such joy because it was like, I don't know. And when you're a young person, it's like over half your life, just all this frustration finally came out, and it was like, ah! And it was like, finally! It was awesome. You know, it was just wonderful, you know? And it was just pure joy. You know, there was just something, it was just fun, you know? And there was just, you know, something that we had looked, you long for something for such a long period of time, and then finally, it's there. And it's just the joy that you have is as it's coming and as the clock was ticking down and we knew that Nebraska was gonna win. It was amazing. And today we have this is the kind of image that, you know, it pales in comparison to the reality, of course, but something that we can understand that when we read in the prophet Isaiah, I rejoice heartily in the Lord, in my God, who is the joy of my soul. I rejoiced heartily in the Lord, because what we are looking forward to is the coming of Jesus Christ, is the coming of the Savior. And we should have that same kind of anticipation, that's something that we've been longing for such a long time for, and finally to have it present now, to be with us now. It gives joy to the heart just to be able to look forward to it and to see it from afar should fill us with such anticipation and waiting that just even thinking about it brings a smile to our face. And so the question becomes for us then, how can we have that joy this Christmas? How can we have that, just that anticipation of waiting and that desire and that longing. And then finally, when we receive it, just to be filled with that utter gladness of the goodness that we have received. And honestly, it only can come through that deep and that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In having that understanding of what he has done for us, that God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that he gave his only son. He gave him to be crucified, to die, to suffer, so that we might have life. And not only have life, but have it to the full, to be filled up with life, to be filled up with joy. So that we become radiant, that we become transformed, so that our sin is taken away, our guilt is taken away, our shame is taken away.
so that we can stand holy, purified, sanctified in the presence of God. To be alleviated of the burden of sin and to live in the freedom of the children of God and to know that we are loved. And so it all begins with that encounter with Jesus, of just coming to know him and to accept his unconditional love, to realize that we are not worthy of God's love, but he still loves us. He knows that. And he wants to give himself to us. He wants to pour himself into us because he died for us. He gave himself to us. So that first step is the invitation he wants. He's knocking at the door of our heart. Are we going to open up the door and say, come in? And we're like, you know what? I don't want Jesus to see inside there, because if he really saw inside what I really look like, if he really knew, he wouldn't love me. It's not true. He already knows. But he respects our freedom and he wants us to open the door to him. He wants us to invite him in. And one of the most beautiful ways that we can invite Jesus into our life is in the sacrament of confession. I can remember there was a time in my life when I hadn't been to confession for a while. And it was just like, you know, I knew it was something I needed to do, and I just kept putting it off, putting it off, putting it off, putting it off. But I tell you, you know, when I finally went in and I unburdened my soul, I gave it all to him. Everything. It was like that burden was lifted. A freedom was given and a joy entered into my heart because I finally was able to accept his mercy. I finally was able to accept my own sin, but not to be defined by it. And I gave it up. And it was replaced with joy. Joy in the presence of Christ. I rejoiced heartily in the Lord, and in my God is the joy of my soul. When is the last time we can say that we really experienced that joy of Jesus Christ, where we really experienced the joy of his presence, where we really experienced the joy of his mercy, of being set free from our sin? I rejoiced heartily in the Lord, in my God is the joy of my soul. So this Advent season, let us really, before Christmas, let us really prepare the way of the Lord to turn away from our sin, to turn away from all that is evil in our life, to turn back to the Lord, to invite him in, to make a good confession, and to be freed of the guilt and the burden that we bear. So that as we are set free, the children of God, we may rejoice as we await the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord.